May the Lord help us to commence our services today by singing hymn 389. 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
May the Lord help us now in turning to his holy word. And we will read from the Gospel according to John. And we will commence in chapter 16 and verse 28. Chapter 16, commencing at verse 28, and we'll read through to the end of chapter 17. John 16, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let us pray. O Lord Almighty, and most gracious God, we do pray for thy help now, that thou wouldst be with us on this thy day. But although we would have desired that we might be speaking face to face, and in thy sovereign hand that is not possible, but yet we thank thee that we may yet meet, and we trust how needful it is it should be in the Spirit, that we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, on thy day, that we be drawn together in the Spirit. We thank thee for the means that we can worship. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may soon be restored to our churches in the coming week. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst preserve us. But, O Lord, do bless the means. And, O Lord, we do believe that these things have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. For thy servant Paul was put in under arrest. He could not go forth to preach the word as he would have done, as he had done in times before. But how it was is true, the word of God is not bound. They might have bound the apostle, but the word was not bound. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that although our churches have been shut these past few weeks, yet the word has gone forth. And we do pray that it may go forth throughout this world, even this day. It may go forth with power from on high. And, O Lord, that the word may go forth and continue to go forth, even in our midst. And, O Lord, that thy gracious hand may be upon the distribution of thy word, the sending forth of thy word. We pray those scriptures distributed in Swavesey or outside the chapel may be made a real blessing in those who have received, that they might read, and read indeed to the saving of their souls by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace, thy grace, O Lord. O Lord, grant us thy help then as we worship thee. Do deliver us from distracting thoughts. And, O Lord, that there may be that attentiveness unto thy word. That thou, O Lord, would be very gracious to help, to be with each of the friends at Swavesey, that thou wouldst favour them and help them. To, O Lord, grant thy preserving hand. We do thank thee for thy preservation thus far. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy rich blessing to attend them and thy servants that do preach. To, O Lord, be with our brethren deacons in their responsibility and burden. And, O Lord, grant that wisdom to them and to the church. And that thy name may be honoured and glorified, that there may be an adding unto the church. O Lord, that in the midst of these solemn times that we are going through, that there may be those who are brought to think of their latter end, to think of eternity, to seek thee early, while it is yet today. How awful it is to read of the rich man in hell, and not one of those petitions in that parable was granted. So, Lord, may indeed, while it is yet today, do deliver us from a hard heart, that we may yet call upon thee. And thy word does so invite. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him? To this man will I look, he that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to bless many. There may be that cause of rejoicing. O Lord, do indeed look in mercy, do help us. O Lord, we do pray for thy comfort upon those that are bereaved, especially in my own church. And thou hast taken one of our deacons suddenly. And, O Lord, we do pray for family of a late departed friend, Morris Short. And, O Lord, that his wife and daughter and other members of the family may be given that comfort and that strength. Oh, indeed, these are solemn times. Thou art taking one and another. And, oh Lord, indeed, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to appear. And for any other that are sick or bereaved at this time, unknown to us, oh Lord, we do pray thy comfort and thy mercy. Oh Lord, indeed, do be with the children and do help them and the young people with much change, disruption to our pattern of life. But, oh Lord, it is all in thy hand. And do help them in these times. Any that are out of work or is difficult with their studying. Oh Lord, do grant them thy help. And do grant thy help to each of us that we may wait patiently upon thee and to plead thy mercy. Indeed, thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. So, Lord, we do plead for thy mercy upon us in the nation at this time. O Lord, that outpouring of the Spirit. We do plead in thy precious name, O Lord Jesus Christ, that thou hast look in mercy. Thou hast turned us again, and the churches are turning again unto thee, that we may hear the rod and earth appointed it. And thy word does say that judgment begin at the house of God, and grant us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and not just to hear in the outward hearing, but there may be that spiritual and gracious doing of the word. And there may be that which is laid in our hearts that must be set right. That which has been amiss. Oh, indeed, for thine honour and glory. Oh, Lord, we do pray that have mercy upon our nation, our government, religious leaders. Or, alas, what leadership is there from the so-called Church of England? It is a shame that we hear of those things said and not said from those in the seats of authority. Oh Lord, we do pray thou wouldst raise up those that would truly know what Israel ought to do. So Lord, may truly sound forth the alarm, sound forth the truth, preach the word, preach Jesus. And do, O Lord, grant wisdom, mercy to our Prime Minister and government and Parliament, and those in authority at this time. O Lord, those be pleased to be merciful to them, to lead them in that right way. O Lord, to grant there may be those raised up in authority and in Parliament that would fear thy name, and those that do fear thy name, grant them thy help. O Lord, indeed, we do pray. Graciously undertake for us and appear for us at this time, and O Lord, in mercy, turn back this tide of sickness. We do thank thee for the reduction in cases of the virus in the past few days. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst look in mercy and turn back the tide of sickness and death. O Lord, we be with the brethren in other lands, many suffering so much greater and short of food or work or no medication or where there is unrest or persecution. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with them. Do, oh Lord, help the orphans in their great need at this time. And, oh Lord, do be with the brethren seeking thy word. Oh Lord, that thy word may go forth. There may be that provision of thine excellent word for those that are hungering and thirsting, and that many may be brought from darkness unto the glorious light of the gospel. may be established in the truth. And where you have the word before us faithfully translated, we thank thee for it. And now, O Lord, grant us that attention unto thy word. Do grant me that help in speaking, preaching the word. And, O Lord, do grant thy favour, we pray. And we would ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 627. 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
Oh, dead man.
may the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I direct you particularly to the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John, chapters 16 to 19, but particularly upon my spirit has been verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we'll read John 17, verses 16 to 19. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. In this sacred prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, just before he was to be taken to judgment and to be crucified, we have the most profound, the most deep truths, most necessary truths. And this is recorded for our profit, for our spiritual good, for our instruction, that we may, by God's grace, be established in the faith. Now, I read the last part of John chapter 16 as well as 17, because I was very struck by the last verse of chapter 16 as a context for chapter 17. The chapter divisions are not in the original. They are that which have been added by editors for our convenience in our modern languages later. Same with the verse numbers. So we mustn't be hindered from considering the connection between one chapter and another just because it's a new chapter in our edition. It's all God's word. Those are flowing together. If there's one word that you'll see a lot in God's word, in the beginning of many verses, for instance, Gospel according to Mark or Genesis chapter 1, almost most verses begin with the word and. It's that word that joins together. It's joined together as a whole. And there's a glorious union as Christ is one, as the Lord is one. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Word of God is one. And so we see in verse 33 of John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These things have I spoken unto you, in me ye might have peace. And we consider our text. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As that setting apart for the honour and glory of God by the truth. And that it is that we might have peace. Peace in our souls. Peace with God. That first word that the risen Lord Jesus Christ brought to his disciples was this: peace be unto you. The word of God is given that we might have peace. Christ came, he's the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth. There's that refrain of the angels announcing, and glory to God, announcing the birth of our Lord. That word our Lord, these words our Lord spoke before his crucifixion, that we might have peace. Those words he spoke as he appeared unto his disciples, peace be unto you. Not peace, the peace of this world, a false peace, a compromise, but an eternal peace. And as it were, that peace was shattered in the fall of man, the Garden of Eden. Instead of there being peace and tranquility and harmony, there was a curse, sin. It brought about a curse. And there was the sword, an angel who guarded the way to the tree of life. There was a sword, a flaming sword. Yet the Lord in his infinite mercy and grace had, as it were, preached the gospel in that prototype form unto Adam and Eve, given the promise of the seed of the woman. And he had clothed them with the skins of beasts. Blood was shed. They were clothed in a righteousness not their own. They tried. They tried to sew together that which was from the ground, for which there was no shedding of blood, the fig leaves and the aprons, but they needed that which was of their own work. But they needed that which was the work of God. For God to provide himself as a lamb, a sacrifice, the shed blood, and to clothe Adam and Eve that righteousness, not their own. And there the gospel was preached unto them. But in this world, we shall have tribulation. And in varying degrees, we're going through a particular time of it at present. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We read in 1 John 5. But there is peace in Christ, reconciliation in Christ, forgiveness of sins in Christ through his shed blood, through that work of sanctification, justification, redemption. So these things are spoken that we might have peace, that we receive it by faith and come humbly to his feet. Like Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. There she had chosen the better part. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, or distracted with much serving. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, and may we be helped so to do. Often we are overburdened with much serving, but we do need, may we help to come apart and sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear his word with reverence and with faith. You may say, well, how are we to receive faith? Where I feel such a lack of faith. But the disciples, we read, they came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith, and so must we. How shall we pray? The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We need the Spirit the Lord, said, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask? Ask him. And those things, all things are to be asked in the name of Jesus. But it is all of God's grace. And we see this very clearly as we move on into John chapter 17. And it's the sovereignty of God. As the foundation, it's the foundation of this prayer that is recorded of Jesus in John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There is the most clear statement of the sovereignty of God in salvation. And that it is to the honour and glory of the Son, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, may glorify God the Father. And all through the work of the Holy Spirit. We read elsewhere that sanctification by the Spirit. And there's that union of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. But here we have the sovereignty of God in salvation, referring to himself, the Son of God, that he, the Son, should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Son of God should give eternal life to as many as the Father given to the Son. And we could refer to other parts of God's word concerning these things. Other parts of John's Gospel, parts of Ephesians. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Of God's glory. It begins with the glory of God. Glorify thy Son, glorify Christ, the Son of God, God the Son. And so we come further on to the work of sanctification. It is for the honour and glory of God, and it is according to the sovereignty of God. That we may know the peace of God. Although those that are sanctified in Christ must walk through tribulation in this life. And the Lord has spoken that they should be so. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, as eternal life. O Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. An eternal life. This life is short. Very short compared to eternity. And we know not when that time may come. The Lord knows. That time is appointed. We may have some particular warning that it approaches, or we may have no warning at all. But this we are called, that we may watch and pray to be ready. One of our dear brethren at Chippenham, suddenly taken to glory, relatively short illness, and taken beginning of last week. There's a solemn reflection on these things. But he has entered into life eternal. And when the time had come. So we understand he was ready. And may it so be with us. And we do need the power of God, the Word of God, Spirit of God. How are we to glorify God? How are we to be sanctified? Verse 4, chapter 17 of John. The Lord Jesus said, I have glorified thee, speaking unto the Father. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The work is done by Christ. There is our hope. His work of obedience. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He has fulfilled all things. He has wrought out that perfect righteousness and his perfect obedience. And that perfect love. Not one thing left undone. Not one thing done in a wrong motive. Not anything done amiss. But perfectly. Fulfilling the holy law of God that we have broken in thought and word and deed. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but our Lord Jesus Christ could truly say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And we read, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. We also see here of the eternal sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before time, eternally the Son of God, that union, we read of it further, that they may be one as we are, that union of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, eternally, that eternal love between the Father and the Son. And our Lord, in this prayer, that we may be sanctified, that is set apart into that love, eternal love. To be partakers of that eternal love, that same love that Father had unto the Son and the Son unto the Father. We read of that in these things again in verses 22 and 23, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Sorry, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The eternal sonship, the eternal union of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that is the foundation of our partaking by God's grace of that eternal love, of mercy, of unity in the church, amongst the brethren, that they may be one as we are one, saith our Lord to his Father. And we also see here in this prayer Christ's care for the flock. That loving care. As David could see, as he, as a young lad or man, as a shepherd cared for his flock, he saw that the Lord, so the Lord Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, cared for him and for each that trusted in him by faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is the care, Christ's care for his flock, Christ's prayer, even in the midst of tribulation. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. This is a wonderful truth, that the Lord cares for his one true church, for every humble believer, for everyone that comes trembling before him. To this man will I look. Look in mercy, not in wrath, not in indignation or disdain, but in mercy. To this man will I look. He was poor and of a contrite spirit. That is that means a sorrowful spirit, sorrowing over sin. To this man will I look, he that is poor, of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. There is a reverence, a godly fear. And we see in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. For our Lord, the previous verse prays, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. This is a reference to his disciples, to every true believer. For every true believer, true Christian, must be a disciple. Must be one who learns. That's what the word means. One who is in the school of Christ, at the feet of Jesus, like Mary, who chosen the better part. Martha, the Lord lovingly reproved her. And we do later see when Mary anointed the Lord with that box of precious ointment, we just read that Martha served. There wasn't the much serving, but she served, did that which was right. And the Lord had the glory. It wasn't Martha's serving which was the focus, and all the work in the kitchen and the guests and everything else. That was a problem before. Careful about many things, but Mary hath chosen that one thing needful, chosen that better part. The Lord lovingly reproved Martha. We are to be in the world, but not of it. We have those callings within this life, but it is for the service of Christ. We have those things that it is needful that we do, but they are to be done unto Christ. Because Christ has done all things for us in love. Should we not love him and follow him? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, sent down from heaven. The Lord came down. Came that he should redeem his one true church, to lay down his life, a sacrifice for sins, to fulfill all righteousness, that he may be clothed in his obedience. And he bore all our breaches, our breaking of the law, in his body upon the tree, upon the cross, shed his precious blood. The Lord said, I am not of the world. My kingdom is not of this world. He said. And thus those who are redeemed, sanctified, set apart for the honour and glory of God. How needful it is that, and I know the old man struggles hard against this, will not accept it, the old man of sin within, the old nature, but the new man of grace. There is a seeking after an altogether different city. This is not our home. We seek a city that hath foundations. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. It's the work of grace, the work of the Holy Spirit that sets apart, that we should seek not the way the world values, money, power, influence, or the religious world, positions. There was no shortage of that in our Lord's day. There's no shortage of that in the history of the professed church either. People fighting over ecclesiastical positions, over who should be pope, bishop, archbishop, cardinal. Battles within churches that ought to know better over who should have the preeminence. There should be no argument whatsoever. It is Christ that must have the preeminence. If we are spiritually minded, if we are not of the world, then it is Christ, whose kingdom is heavenly, is not of this world. Woe unto us if we are striving one with another as to who should have the preeminence. If there's any argument, it should be about who's the least. Who is the worst sinner? But the Lord has called us to peace and brotherly love. And that as he is not of this world, his kingdom is not of this world, although Lord prays not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. We are in the world as witnesses, as our Lord Jesus Christ. Witness. And that word in the original is literally martyr. We get the word martyr from the Greek word for witness. He sealed that testimony with his blood. And so we read in the history of the church, those martyrs who sealed the testimony of the faith in Christ Jesus with their own blood. Like as we read in Scripture of James, the brother of John, who Herod had slain with a sword, or Stephen, who was stoned. The Apostle Paul was in his last epistle to Timothy, second epistle to Timothy, he knew that he should shortly lay down his life for the testimony. The testimony of Christ. But whether called to die in that manner or not, we're all called to die to this world and to be witnesses of so great a salvation in Christ Jesus. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now thou should consider us to reflect. Are we worldly minded? Alas, there's too much of it about us. Well, we should consider him, consider Jesus. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We need the power. It can't be the power and the will of the flesh that will deliver us. The power of God. Power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord grant us a true spirit of prayer to pray that the Lord would grant us of that grace. Renew in me a right spirit, like David, who had fallen in the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. He knew how strong the flesh was and the temptations of Satan. Turn thou away, thou mine eyes, from beholding vanity, the psalmist said. That need of the Lord's appearing. Indeed, that Psalm 119 ends with the last verse, verse 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We need the power of God, that the Lord has encouraged us to pray. And we began with the sovereignty of God. But the sovereignty of God doesn't mean we follow the way of fatalism. To say, well, if this is the Lord's purpose for me, it will be so. If I can't pray, that's the Lord's purpose, I won't pray until maybe the Lord moves me to pray. I've even heard of cases where instead of there being the service in the house of God at a set time, so we've got 10:30 this morning, one church had fallen in such error that somebody visited and they were all outside and inquired why had the service not begun. And the answer was, we're waiting for the Spirit to move us. Well, the Spirit has already moved and the Spirit has spoken. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And that God is a God of order, not of confusion. A fatalism is not godliness at all. It's rather a perversion of the doctrine, the teaching of God's sovereignty. We begin here with the sovereignty of God, and here that we are not in the world. Indeed, in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As he came to the sin-cursed earth in love, mercy to redeem, to fulfill the law of God on behalf of his one true church out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, to lay down his life a sacrifice for their sins, to rise again. Thus he said unto his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. That all power, authority, that sovereignty is the very reason for going forth. And so it is here. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world to be witnesses. Some are called to the open ministry, the preaching of the word. But each are called to be witnesses. Ye are my witnesses, we read in Isaiah. Witnesses to the honour and glory of God. But sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There is the power. We need that power. Power our Lord Jesus Christ petition unto the Father, and surely that prayer shall be answered. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For what purpose are we to go out into the world? As witnesses? For the honour and glory of God? We're not sent out into the world, as it were, to be in the world to compromise the truth, to be just like anybody else's, to have the same values as everybody else, to just drift along with the tide, or be like Pontius Pilate, who said, "What is truth?" and turned away. But thy word is truth. Christ is truth, who is the word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And thy word is truth, the word of God is truth, in union with the eternal word, the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify them. The word sanctification, or to sanctify, literally means to make holy. A saint is one who has been sanctified, set apart to the honour and glory of God. Not set apart for some worldly purpose, or those things that are set apart because they're unclean. That is not the sanctification that is spoken of here. Yes, there's a setting apart, but it's for the honour and glory of God. And is your life set apart for the honour and glory of God? We must ask that question about our churches. Let us be plain about it. Are they set up for the honour and glory of God, or are they set up to perpetuate traditions? If it's the latter, we'll go the way of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The candlestick will surely be removed. Cannot trifle in these matters, and must be very plain. Hear ye the rod and heard the point at it. Is there not a very striking message in the, I mean, like 16 Lord's days so far this year, the first time for nearly 800 years in the country that collective church worship cannot take place? Is there not a voice in that for us? We have in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Words that are very striking and in our day. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? But it begins at us. It did in the book of Revelation. Those judgments, they didn't begin with, we don't read first of the beast and false prophet and that being cast into the lake of fire, nor the plagues being poured out, nor the judgments upon the great whore and all the Satan system of false worship and those who went after it. No, it begins with seven churches in Asia in chapters 2 and 3, and the Lord searching out and giving those warnings. Him that hath ears, who hath ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And there was that exposing of those things that were not right, where there were heresies, immorality, forsaking of the first love, lukewarmness, having a name that they live but are dead. And indeed, we do well if we lay to heart this past 16 weeks. It's all very well to go and blame everybody else and the government and this and that and various conspiracies that have no factual basis whatsoever and so on and so forth. And it's all very well, and there may be some fault elsewhere. I'm not saying there isn't. But what about us? It doesn't say judgment will begin with the government. It says judgment will begin at the house of God. And there's a very clear message here. Thy word is truth. And we are not to trust to a denominational name or denominational customs, but to trust in God and God alone, in Christ Jesus, by the power of the Spirit. The the Lord has not called us to the tradition of the fathers, to elevate those things that are, even though they be the works of godly men, they are not to be elevated in the place of Christ, or even to be equal with, but that in all things he, as Christ, might have the preeminence, and that preeminence in our heart. So there's that sanctification, setting apart to the honour and glory of God. Our churches, they must be set apart to the honour and glory of God. We must seek God's grace that it may be so. And how should we know the way that we may give that honour and glory to God? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God. We do well. As for God, his way is perfect. We do well to follow that way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And truly, if these tribulations we're going through are sanctified by God's grace, it'll be that we're returning unto Christ, returning unto the Word. Perhaps at the beginning we all thought, well, it'll soon be over, we can all go back to how we were before. I quickly realised that what folly that is. If God has spoken, we do well to hear and to take heed. That we shouldn't just go back to how we were. I'm not saying that we cast forth the scriptures, the gospel, reverence and worship. Not at all. But it's those things that were not honouring to God. That as the Lord saw in those or five of the seven churches in Asia, those things that were not right. And the Lord has spoken, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? That sanctification, that setting apart, is by the word, by Christ, by the power of Christ, the work of Christ, by the truth. We're not set apart to honour other things other than Christ. But to come to that other aspect of sanctification, there's a setting apart and there's a purifying. Without true sanctification, those things are sanctified, they're set apart, they're purified. We read of that in the Old Testament with the sprinkling of the blood or the anointing oil upon the priests in their consecration. That washing with water, that anointing with oil, that sprinkling with blood. That all sets forth that work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, not just interesting, but very profitable to consider the opening chapters of the Bible and what truth there is, what foundation truth there is there. We first read of the word sanctify in Genesis chapter 2, and verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. In those previous 6 days, it was all done by the word, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, be fruit, and there's fruit. There's a separation from light and darkness. There was life. Adam made a living soul. It was all by the word, and it was good. And when it was all completed, it was very good. And so we see there that the seventh day sanctified, it was through the word, the word of life. Christ, who is the Word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we do need the the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, and applied by the Spirit, we think of that sanctifying effect of those words of mercy, those words of grace. A setting apart for God's honour and glory, a purifying, a forgiving of sins. For those that came unto Jesus, how they did need to hear those words, Son or daughter, thy sins be all forgiven thee. What joy and power must have filled their hearts. That woman that was caught in the act of adultery, in the very act. They brought her, indeed they should have brought the man as well if they were acting rightly, but no, they weren't. They were feigning themselves to be just men, as it were, to tempt, to catch and entangle our Lord. Well, they brought the woman. And they asked him, what should be done? And he found out their own sin. That he that hath no sin cast the first, he that is without sin cast the first stone. And they all went out, starting at the eldest, realised their guilt. And then that woman was left with Jesus alone. We see here in a parable, a type, sanctification. The Lord said unto her, hath no man condemned thee? She says, yea, no, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. There was forgiveness. But there was a setting apart of her life now to the honour and glory of God, not to sin. And we read in confirming this work of sanctification that it is a finished work. Ye are sanctified. We don't read of it being a progressive work. The word progressive, you can search on an online concordance and the word doesn't appear in the Bible. Nor does the word sanctifying. You can put that in an online concordance, it's not in the Bible. What you do see is a growth in grace and a knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But ye are sanctified. That is a finished work. Sanctify them. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. That which the Lord has prayed unto his Father, it is done. Our Lord said, it is finished. That work was done. That price is paid. The church of Christ has been purchased with his precious blood, washed with water. Let's read several verses concerning this. But of him ye are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In Ephesians, concerning the marriage union, which speaks forth a greater truth of that union between Christ and the church, the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There's the washing of the water and the blood that flowed from Christ's pierced side. If they are the water, by the word. In Hebrews chapter 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Through his broken body. In Hebrews 13, there's the precious blood. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. That work of redemption, that shedding of his precious blood, his broken body, that we might be made whole. The washing of the water to cleanse. And the word of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The finished work. How careful we must be to hold fast to the truth as the truth is in Jesus, the truth of the word of God, in love and in humility and in faith and in prayer, that we may hold fast to the word. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. If our Lord Jesus Christ has shown forth such love to us, and we've felt that love revealed to us by the Spirit, and have a humble hope in him, shall we not show forth his glory in professing openly his name? If we've known such love, such great love, abundant mercy, so we not show forth and testify of that mercy that we've received for his glory? If the Lord has done such great things for us, how needful it is that we, our lives should be a living sacrifice. He laid down his life a sacrifice. Our lives are to be a living sacrifice to his honour and glory. How we do need that power, the power of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and that grace which is from above. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. May the Lord grant us that grace to press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and that will again be online. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening on Zoom. And then next Lord's Day, Mr. Seymour is expected to preach, and God willing, this will be in the chapel once more, for which we're thankful. And the services will be morning and afternoon at 10:30 and 2:30. And Mr. Seymour hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. May we close with hymn 985. Ho, ye despairing sinners, hear. Ye thirsty, sin-sick souls, draw near. Here's water, whose all-powerful stream shall quench your thirst and wash you clean. Its healing power has always wrought beyond the reach of human thought. Hymn 985.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.